Voices are action.
In real world radio.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Voices are Action, Real World Radio's new podcast series, where we bring the voices from the territories. On today's edition, we will focus mainly on the climate crisis and the role and abuses of transnational corporations, as well as the need for a just energy transition, with examples of transnational corporations affecting global south countries. We remind you of the ways you can find us on our website rwr.fm in English and Spanish, on Twitter and Facebook at Real World Radio, and on Instagram, real_world_radio.
Voices are action
in Real World Radio.
So let's begin with an overview of today's issues. First, we will talk about the massive mobilizations in Panama against the national government over a reform imposed on the Social Security Fund against the mining activity and the government's submissive attitude with respect to the Panama Canal. We will have a report from Ronaldo Ortiz of the Panamanian Peasant Union and the National Front for the Defense of Economic and Social Rights. Then we will talk about Friends of the Earth in Netherlands, which is filing two climate lawsuits, one against the ING Bank, and the other against the Anglo-Dutch oil corporation Shell, which has also been the object of a past climate litigation case. Then, on May the 21st, as every year, social movements and organizations mark the Anti-Chevron Day. We will share the audio of a video released by Friends of the Earth International. And we will end our second Voices Are Action in Malaysia, where Friends of the Earth Malaysia launched a petition against a carbon credit project in Sarawak. Reti Sendi, Research Officer for Sabat Alam Malaysia, Friends of the Earth Malaysia, we'll report on this issue. So, as we said, we begin today's episode in Panama. Protests have been going on for over a month against the far-right government of José Raúl Mulino, who imposed a law reforming the Social Security Fund Act. This reform is opposed by teachers' groups, organized youth, workers, environmentalists, peasant and indigenous communities, because it increases the retirement age and the contributions required to access a dignified pension plan, and also hands over millions of dollars to private banks. In addition to the issue of Social Security, the protests in Panama condemned President Mulino's attempt to reopen the Cobre Panama mine, owned by local company Minera Panama, a subsidiary of the Canadian company First Quantum Minerals, located 120 kilometers west of Panama City. In November 2023, the Supreme Court of Justice declared the mining project unconstitutional. The third crucial point of the protest is a rejection of the Memorandum of Understanding signed with the United States in April, which allows the U.S. military to increase its presence in the Central American country. In fact, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth told Trump at a presidential cabinet meeting that the United States is taking back the canal. China's had too much influence. Obama and others let them creep in. We, along with Panama, are pushing them out, sir. That was Paul Sekhet, in line with what the president himself had been warning. In the context of the protests, there have been human rights violations, repression, arbitrary arrest, and criminalization of social protests. To learn more about this issue, we will now listen to Ronaldo Ortiz from the Panamanian Peasant Union, which is part of the Latin American Coordination of Rural Organizations, CLOC La Vía Campesina, and the National Front for the Defense of Economic and Social Rights.
Panama is going through one of the worst crises of our time. The government of José Raúl Mulino, an ultra-right-wing government that has been in power for less than 10 months, has imposed a law reforming the Social Security Fund, which social movements denounce as a covert increase in the retirement age. It increases the contributions required to obtain a decent pension and also hands over billions of dollars to speculative private banks that generate resources from this mechanism of speculation. This is in addition to the government's attitude towards the attempts by Donald Trump's administration in the United States to take back the Panama Canal, with false stories that the Chinese government and army are in control of the canal, something that the Panamanian people have totally denied, and it's not true. In addition to this, the Panamanian people are demanding the closure of a mining project whose contract was declared unconstitutional. Among so many other things, human rights, democracy, and trade union liberties have been violated, which has also been denounced by social organizations. There have been more than 300 arbitrary arrests and around 100 judicial proceedings denounced by the leaders of social movements. In this context, the Panamanian people are mobilizing and continuing their protests. There are protests being held throughout the country. The province of Bocas del Toro, on the border with Costa Rica, is completely closed due to the demands of the social movement, and in addition to this, the national police and security forces, who are disguised as such, but are in fact small armies in different regions of the country, are brutally repressing the protest. We can conclude by stating that the social movement demands the repeal of Law 462, which reforms the Social Security Fund law and demands the immediate and unilateral annulment of the Memorandum of Understanding with the United States Army. In addition, we demand that the first quantum minerals mining project in Panama be definitely closed and that democratic rights, human rights, and freedom of association be respected. We denounce the persecution of the main leaders of the National Union of Construction and Related Industries Workers, SUNTRAC, a labor union that has been harshly persecuted. Four of its leaders have been arrested and are being tried in a rigged trial. Two of them, Genaro López, a long-standing leader, and Jaime Caballero, Secretary for National and International Affairs, are in prison. Comrade Saúl Méndez, General Secretary of the SUNTRAC Union, is seeking asylum at the Bolivian embassy. He's currently under protected status, and Comrade Erasmo Serrut is being persecuted, with the National Police having already put a price on his head. These are situations that are occurring in Panama amid the struggle for a dignified life and social justice, which are central pillars of the Panamanian struggle.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
On May the 13th, Milieu Defensie, Friends of the Earth's member group in the Netherlands, filed a new lawsuit against Anglo-Dutch oil company Shell, accusing it of failing to fulfill its legal duty of care under Dutch law due to its continued investments in new oil and gas fields and its inadequate climate policy for the period between 2030 and 2050. Milieu Defensie warns that Shell has no plan to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. And they say the science is crystal clear. There is no room for new oil and gas field drilling. Even if all the oil and gas is extracted from existing fields, the Earth is already warming well beyond 1.5 degrees. They also say that the Court of Appeal has ruled that new oil and gas fields might be at odds with the Paris Agreement. Yet, Shell has 700 new oil and gas fields in the pipeline worldwide, according to a new research by Milieu Defensie in cooperation with Global Witness. If Shell stopped approving and developing new fields, it would prevent 36 times the emissions of the entire Netherlands. The organization from the Netherlands is demanding that Shell halts its investments in new oil and gas fields and align its emission reductions with a global average temperature increase of 1.5 degrees from 2035 to 2050. On May 26, 2021, a court in The Hague ordered Shell to reduce its carbon emissions by 45% by 2030, compared to its 2019 emission levels, after being taken to court by Milieu Defensie and several other organizations, as well as 17,000 co-plaintiffs accused of being an unavoidable contributor to climate change due to its carbon emissions. That case did not succeed for the plaintiffs, but it is clear that several years later, Shell continues to fail to meet the climate targets set out in the Paris Agreement and its own national law. But this is not the only legal action that Friends of the Earth Netherlands is pursuing in relation to the climate crisis. At the end of March, the organization launched another legal case against the Dutch bank ING, demanding that it halve its emissions by 2030 and stop financing oil and gas companies that continue to start new projects. Here are the four main reasons why Milieu Defensie is taking legal action against the ING bank. They explain that as a bank, ING finances our future. ING has a responsibility to stop financing companies that put our future at risk. ING is one of the 29 biggest banks worldwide, and with big influence comes big responsibility, said Friends of the Earth Netherlands. ING's financed emissions are 262 megatons, which is more than 1.5 times the emissions of all the Netherlands. For over 70% of these emissions, ING has zero emission reduction targets. ING finances fossil fuel energy with 30 billion euros. For more information about these lawsuits against Shell can be found at milodefensi.nl.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
The 21st of May marked Anti-Chevron Day, as every year. Real World Radio has been reporting for years on the disasters caused by Chevron Texaco in the Ecuadorian Amazon, especially following all the work of denunciation, legal action, and mobilization by the Union of People Affected by Chevron Texaco, UDAPT, Friends of the Earth Ecuador. Now we will hear the audio from a video published by Real World Radio, Friends of the Earth International, UDAPT, and Friends of the Earth Latin America and the Caribbean on the Anti-Chevron Day.
For over 30 years, Chevron, formerly Texaco, dumped tens of billions of liters of toxic waste and crude oil across the Ecuadorian Amazon. They poisoned rivers, destroyed indigenous lands, choked the air, and left thousands sick. Communities fought back in court and won. But that verdict still hasn't been implemented. Chevron ran to a shadowy system of international arbitration to overturn the verdict and dodge the $9.5 billion they owe. Making a mockery of the justice system, a tribunal sided with Chevron against Ecuador, while the corporation continues to vilify, intimidate, and take its critics to court. Through their struggle against the fossil fuel giant, the Union of People Affected by Texaco, now Chevron, exposes a global system that shields corporate climate criminals as they endanger and violate the rights of communities, exploit trade tribunals, capture states and media, and rig laws to pollute, evade accountability, and violate human rights. This same system is driving the climate crisis. But resistance is growing. Peoples continue to organize, demand justice, and expose the violence and impunity of corporate power. Their resistance echoes far beyond the Amazon, mobilizing people everywhere to rise up, resist, and demand a world free from corporate domination. Climate justice means dismantling corporate power and ending impunity. It means active struggle for collective liberation in solidarity with those on the front lines, while building a system that centers, sustains, and cares for life. This is a fight for survival, for dignity and justice, and we won't stop until corporations like Chevron are defeated and we've achieved real system change.
Voices are action
in Real World Radio.
And then Friends of the Earth Malaysia launched a petition to oppose a carbon credit project in Sarawak, Malaysia, in solidarity with indigenous communities from 15 villages who have expressed concern that this project threatens to violate their native customary rights, perceiving it as a new form of land grabbing. The project is a carbon credit project by Sara Carbon, a subsidiary of Samling, the same company that has a history of logging, clearing, and plantations in the state. The project claims that it will put an end to all future logging and carry out restoration within the limits permitted to generate carbon credits. This is Reddy Sandy, Research and Field Officer with Sabat Alam Malaysia, Friends of the Earth Malaysia.
The Maruri Forest Conservation and Restoration Project is a forest carbon offsetting project regulated under the Sarawak Forest Amendment Ordinance 2022. The project is located in LPF 0008, a monoculture plantation concession that has been licensed out to the Sarawak logging company called Samling. About 25,675 hectares will be used for the forest carbon project to generate carbon credit for sale. This carbon credit project is undertaken by Samling subsidiary Sara Carbon. The indigenous communities directly impacted by this carbon project are from Logan Tasan, Logan Company, and Sungai Berit in Marudi, Sarawak. About 15 villages in the Marudi district have expressed concern that this project threatens their native customary right, NCR, and they call it a new form of land grabbing. The communities have been informed us that they have been left confused by the consultant and surveyors conducted in respect to the project, and that the project lacked the free, prior, and informed consent, ethics process required by international law. Second, despite its name, the Maori Forest Conservation and Restoration Project is not a conservation project. They are very worried that they will lose their NCR. FOE Malaysia has always called carbon project as a false solution. It is a violation of right over customary land of indigenous and local people and do not help in addressing the issue of climate change. The petition will also be open for individual signature letter in June. Once signature has been collected, this letter will be sent to Sarawak Carbon, the Premier of Sarawak, the Director of Forest in Sarawak, Minister of Natural Resources and Environmental Sustainability, and to VERA, the standard setting body. On behalf of the communities who have demand for the carbon credit project to be called off within their customary territories, Friends of the Earth Malaysia, Safe River Sarawak, Swiss NGO Bruno Mansour Funds and Bruno Project have launched a global letter calling for signatories from all NGOs and civil societies to stand in solidarity with these communities. You can find details of this project and the petition on www.foe-malaysia.org. Please support this petition.
So we have now reached the end of our show, Voices of Action. We remind you that you can find more about this and many other issues on our website, rwr.fm, our Twitter and Facebook pages, and on Instagram at Real World Radio. See you soon, and thank you for listening.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.